Welcome one and all, once again, to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 54. And because it makes sense to always have some random number, numerical fact, I found out that 54 is the number of cubes, or number of square spaces on a Rubik's Cube. So, if you're ever in Jeopardy...
That's so interesting.
I know.
Wow. It's also... Wait, 54, right?
Yeah.
And funny that, divide 54 by 2, and what do you get?
What do you get?
27.
And that's weird.
27?
We're going to go with that, aren't we?
I'm just saying that the 54 is significant for another reason, well, on the day that we're recording this anyway.
Yes.
So and now the podcast is dated forever. Forever.
They're always dated.
It's because true. Somebody must have died at the age of 27 on this episode. Nicholas Reed is only half awake, in case anyone cares who's listening to this show.
So yes, let's get proper introductions out, because this tends to go on and we end up missing it. So as you can hear, we have special guest Jay joining us.
Well, he's out. I mean, you know me. You didn't say the V!
I was going to say that he was so happy the other day because somebody actually recognized him because of his catchphrase on Twitter. So there you go. He gets to use it. We also had Thomas last week who had his name was Zaya, which rhymes with a dollar, so give him a holler. So, you know.
You say it's so funny, man. It's, I don't know.
So you have competing catchphrases.
I have too many catchphrases. My other podcast has like another catchphrase that I have to say all the time, and I'm like confusing them now. It's crazy. Anyway, so
that was a long intro for Jay, wasn't it? Considering he's not even a regular.
All right, moving on.
I was gonna say when we have Eric and Anthony, but I guess now I can't give them short introductions.
What up, bitches?
Do either one of you have... Well, Eric has a catchphrase.
I do?
Yeah. I tend to think of your catchphrase as being bear.
Cool.
Because I think if you had a tweet count, that would probably be your most used word.
It's one of them, yeah.
What are the other two?
Think, read, something else. Can't remember.
Think, read, bear.
Yeah, beer's like the second one.
And Anthony, who... I don't really know what to do, because the last time we did this episode, we made fun of him for being Harry Potter, and I don't want to really retread old ground with that.
No, because this time I'll just tell you to go fuck yourself, because you're not lost that, so.
Oh, I guess Anthony has developed confidence in the last 30
episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So, now that we have introductions out of the way, as I mentioned before, I didn't mention this before, but I hinted at it. This is our second part of our Harry Potter podcast. I believe it was episode 21 where we first did our Harry Potter episode that covered movies 1-6 and most of the books, even though the books aren't talked about as much. And I made a conscious decision not to cover Deathly Hallows Part 1 because I felt that Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2 kind of had to be done together because they're basically one part of this, two parts of one movie. And I think for all of you who have seen Deathly Hallows Part 2, you'd kind of agree with that.
Are we talking about Part 1 as well?
We're talking about Part 1 and 2, yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen Part 1 since last year, so I can't really...
I haven't seen it since last year either. That's awesome.
Oh. I made the mistake.
Watched it the other day.
Yeah, I made the mistake of not rewatching it before I watched Part 2.
Yeah, I did too. I was so upset because I was like, you know what I did like about it? And it just jumped right into the movie. And it's like, you can watch them back to back. If you wanted to, and no problem. It's great like that. I love the way it was done. Yeah.
So, that's one of the, I mean, I didn't know at the time that it would pretty much be a straight continuation of part two, but, you know, of part one, I should say. But I felt they needed to be talked about together because you can't see, because part one does end on a cliffhanger, and I think that would have left some people sour.
Right.
It wasn't as bad as some Matrix cliffhanger. But, you know, it did kind of just, it ended in the middle of a scene, basically.
Yeah.
At least we didn't get to be continued, like in The Matrix.
I was about to say, it's the closest thing to a to be continued as possible without actually saying the words on the screen.
I was just going to say, you know, well, just to kind of go off of what Anthony said, I kind of did feel like I did miss the to be continued at the end of part one and at the beginning of part two. Last time on Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
You don't need them for movies though, really, do you? They're for TV shows.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been cool to see though. Not really. It would have been horrible to see that.
Yeah.
I think the difference between TVs and movie is mostly the fact that, I mean, Harry Potter is a very special case. You don't really get it that often, but.
Mm.
Usually, by the time a sequel comes out, it's been like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And a movie's usually on home release. With a TV show, you know, like, if you didn't see last week, it's not like you can get it on DVD. I mean, nowadays, it's a bit different with Hulu and Netflix.
You can download it on easytv.it.
I actually quite like...
Thank you for plugging that torrent site.
What?
I quite like what Spider-Man Oops, 2 did, sorry. Actually. Do you know the opening title of Spider-Man 2?
That was fantastic.
Yeah, the Alex Ross art. And then they did it with Spider-Man 3. They just showed you clips from the movie, which didn't seem as good for some reason.
It's actually something that James Bond has done before. I think it was on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Oh, right.
Is that because they were transitioning from Connery to Lazenby, they had clips of the first four movies in the intro scene, so people know that it was still the same franchise, which I thought was a neat effect, but they pretty much gave up on that after that and don't care when they do transitions anymore. So, there you go. So, I mean, we already kind of started talking about it, but thoughts on Deathly Hallows Part 1 for those of you who remember it?
I remember enjoying it. That's pretty much it. I remember that I enjoyed it. I liked it.
I remember liking it. I remember feeling that that the whole, you know, Lord of the Rings sequence was kind of awesome and not too long, just long enough to be uncomfortable, but not too long to be unbearable.
Well, Lord of the Rings sequence, which one?
Are we talking about the Tales of the Three Brothers?
No, the, you know, where they were just, like, walking everywhere.
In the forest.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I call it the Lord of the Rings sequence because all they did was walk and hide and hang out in forests
and get mad at each other.
Yeah,
that's
and then there was
walked out of the theater too. I was like, wow, the whole fucking 2 hours in the forest, that sucked.
Yeah.
Well, and I think this is something warned you about when we were doing the original podcast is the fact that the first part had to be pretty much all set up.
Yeah, it was. So
yeah,
I mean, all the payoff was in the second one for sure.
Definitely
for right? sure.
But the first one was still. It was still like a good solid movie because you still had certain amounts of plot. You had Bill Nye bringing the
science guy?
Deathly Hallows, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. He was the Prime Minister, wasn't he?
Yes.
Oh, oops.
The Minister of Magic.
Yeah, the Minister. Well,
the Minister of Magic, that's it. Yeah.
Whoever brought the gifts to the three kids.
Yes.
And the that gold ball thing. What is that called? The snitch.
The snitch.
Yeah.
You know, and the lighter. And
oh,
the
yeah.
Gift,
when
the book.
You know, was like, in Dumbledore's will. Yeah.
Yeah, like there was stuff like that. There was plot, and then all of a sudden there was this, like this big walking through the forest sequence, and then there was more plot, you know, and then there was like a half-naked Hermione.
I have a trivia question for you.
Okay.
When did we first see the Deluminator? Do you guys remember?
The Deluminator? In the first
of the
movie.
Stone. Yeah.
Attaboy. All right.
Or the sorcerer.
That's the easiest trivia question I've ever answered.
I couldn't get it. I was like,
Philosopher's Stone. Dumbledore uses it at the beginning to take out the streetlights.
10 years ago, you know. I don't.
Well, I mean, it depends. Some people rewatch. Like I rewatch all of them before I saw Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Yeah.
But yeah, and this is something.
Wait, did you say you watched all 7 before you watched Part 2?
Yeah, not like right before. I've done it like 3 weeks over.
Oh, okay. I was like. Wow,
like 18 hours worth of movie.
Yeah,
I think something like that, and I can't wait to get all 8 parts and do that over a weekend sometime this year.
Yeah, this is going to be more epic than watching all 3 Lord of the Rings movies extended editions because
that's actually something I wanted to because I know the first two, for example, have extended editions. Granted, it's not really there's not really much key scenes that were extended.
Right.
But there are additional scenes, and I don't know if any of you, I know Eric has it, but Deathly Hallows Part 1, the Blu-ray and the DVD has the scenes, and I think some of them might actually be kind of cool to be included in the movie. Mostly the scenes with the Dursleys at the beginning of the movie, with them saying goodbye to Harry Potter.
Yeah, I missed that. I mean, out of the book, that was so touching.
Yeah, it was, it actually adds a lot of, you know, a lot of closure to their arc and kind of show that they did kind of care for each other.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned this before. with the scene with Harry and his Aunt Petunia.
Oh yeah, I've seen clips of that. I haven't seen the whole scene though. From Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Yeah, right. They're in the house and she's like, you know, I lived in this house my whole life or something like that and now I have to say goodbye. And he's like, yeah, you know, but these people are vicious. They'll murder you. And she's just like, you know, on that night you didn't just use a mother. And I'm like, yeah, you know, they go through this whole series and they kind of mistreat him, but it is still her sister.
Yeah.
And especially once you see Deathly Hallows Part 2, you would understand that they really were close when they were younger. Magic did kind of take them apart, but they were very good friends.
I like Dudley's reaction to saying goodbye.
Yeah, it was awkward, and I think some people
complained that.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people complained it went on too long, but I think it went on just long enough. Yep.
Have you seen the extended version of it? There's a longer version.
The version I saw is like 2.5 minutes. So, this is the one, whichever one's on the DVD.
I can see them cutting them into the movie eventually and re-releasing them.
Yeah, because there's also some other scenes. Some of them were scenes that kind of play more for the book and not so much for the audience. Like, for example, they have the scene in one of the deleted scenes is the scene when Ron explains to them that you can't say Voldemort because it's a taboo word. And that doesn't really play up in the movie, but in the book, that's how they end up being found in the forest is because Harry says their name.
Right. You know,
I
didn't even realize, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be talking right now. Keep going.
No, go on.
No, I was too close. I was just thinking, oh yeah, that's right. They didn't really mention it that much in the movie. That's all.
Movies, right? Like they say.
Not necessarily. Earlier in the movie, they were just afraid of saying his name. Voldemort actually like put some sort of his name became like a calling card. You say it, his Death Eaters know and immediately appear and are, I don't know, kill you or something.
Well, doesn't he get mad in the second one, and he starts using the name, and he's like, I don't care anymore, we might as well just say it.
Exactly, that's how he loses it. Well, you know, like, the power, the power of someone's name, striking the fear in that, you know, Harry was not afraid of him at all.
Right.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that, what he was talking about is that it's what they call taboo, and that it's a lock, so if you say the name, people are able to lock onto it, and in the book, that's how they discover Ron, Hermione, and Harry in the forest.
Right.
Oh.
And kind of randomly, they dissipate somewhere, and then the people happen to be in that area.
Yeah.
So, but there's a scene in the movie where they explain why that word's taboo, but since they don't use that as a plot point, it made no sense to be in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a scene, which I thought was kind of cute, but not necessary, where Ron teaches Hermione how to toss rocks. Skip rocks.
Okay, that makes sense.
Again, it's kind of like the scene, you know, like how people grow up about the scene with Hermione and Harry dancing. It's kind of just like them trying to be normal kids.
Yeah.
This whole thing, and that's kind of what that scene was. And it was, like I said, it was cute, but it didn't add anything to the overall movie, which is kind of wrong to begin with.
I thought it alleviated the situation because that was very depressing when they started dancing.
Yeah.
I think the point came across.
But I think, I think they could include it in an extended edition because it does add to the overall movie. But I don't think it was necessary for a theatrical release because it doesn't add much to the overall plot or pacing.
Mm.
And there's some other scenes, but, you know, I don't really remember them offhand. But yeah, Deathly Hallows was an interesting movie. It's enjoyable. It is kind of, you know, all set up for the most part.
There's plenty of character moments in it as well, though, between Harry, Harry, Hermione, and Ron.
But that was the other thing I was going to get to, is the fact that it's pretty much a very isolated movie.
Yeah.
Because it's the three of them on their own for the most part. And it's the first time, you know, they kind of don't have that safety net of teachers or Dumbledore or anybody looking out for them.
Yeah.
Again,
and also, don't forget, this is also the first time where we don't have to sit through a Quidditch match.
Wait, I don't think there's a Quidditch match in five.
Or a Christmas scene. Whoa.
Well, no, Christmas scene is when they go.
I don't mind the Quidditch matches that much, actually.
Yeah, they're a lot better than the real life Quidditch matches you see back home in the park.
I think Quidditch is important in the third and sixth one. Other than that, it's kind of meh.
Quidditch is better in the movies than it is in the books.
In my opinion.
Yeah,
not an entire chapter.
I don't think I
visualized it the same way myself if I read the book before I'd seen the movie. You know what I mean?
Well, in the book, this kind of, well, especially in certain books where it happens, it's not, like in the movies, it's usually one or two scenes. In the book, it's usually like two or three chapters, because there's like the warm-up match, and then they have like the match with versus Slytherin, and then you find out, like, you know, like each time they're so close to winning the championship and something happens. But yeah, it's not how. And they do bring that full circle in Deathly Hallows Part 2, because we get to see the Death Eaters burn down the Quidditch field.
I realized that they did that 3 minutes after they did, and I really got sad. I also got really sad when we realized that everyone, or in that sort of moment after the Death Eaters retreated from Hogwarts, and Harry got to walk through and see all of the death and destruction in that makeshift infirmary that they made somewhere in Hogwarts. That really made me sad too.
Hmm.
I was also sad to not get to see Fred. Wait, was it Fred? The one who died?
I think Fred.
It was one of the twins. I know that.
It's like, why a twin? Why kill a twin? They were cool. Oh, that's why.
They die in the books.
I think they wanted to kill a Weezy, and, you know, even though, yes, you do kill somebody, it doesn't really change the dynamic of the family, because you still end up having, you know, pretty much all the same boys. It's just that you don't have twins. You just have one of them now. Yeah. And I think the one that stays alive is the one who's missing half of his ear.
Huh. Yeah.
Well, good for him.
George, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, George. I don't know his name.
There was more to that scene of his death and stuff. Like, it was actually a pretty decent battle.
Yeah, like...
Well, but I heard. I don't know. I never read the books.
I think in the book, you actually got to watch him die in the book. Well, read him die, I guess.
Right. It's not. I mean, it's still not a dramatic death or anything, but I think the reaction to Percy is what really makes the scene, because... And again, it's kind of... You know, they don't really touch on the relationship of the family that much in the movies. But like, Percy was the brother who kind of left them for the ministry around book 5.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So when he came back and was making peace with them, it was a big deal. But again, it's not something that they play up in the movie, so that emotional weight wouldn't have come across to a lot of people. And that's something that happens with a lot of the one of the key scenes, and I guess we can talk about. Is in the book, Hermione and Ron end up kissing for the first time when Ron looks out for the benefit or the health of the house elves, which is kind of, you know, goofy. I think it's done better in the movie.
Did they kiss for the first time in Deathly Hallows Part 2 in the Chamber of Secrets, or did they kiss in Part 1? Because I don't know, I didn't quite like that. I think it was just kind of like, right, we need to get them together, let's just do it now and get it out of the way.
That's kind of what it felt like to me, too.
It's the same with Ginny and Harry as well.
Well, Ginny and Harry, see, I guess I think of it differently, because they've been building up.
They've been leading towards it. So.
Yeah, the movies have did a better job of it than I think the books did, because like, you kind of get the idea that Ron and Hermione kind of have a thing for each other starting with like, the third movie. And it's
I think you get it a bit in the first movie, actually, when they first meet. When they don't really like each other that much, and there's that kind of thing where you're not nice to the person you like when you're about 12 years old.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, when you start to see like overthrowings on both ends, like the third one, and I really don't think the book started doing anything until like the sixth. Well, I guess it was kind of like the fourth one, the Yule Ball and stuff like that. But even then, I don't remember it being as dramatic as they made it out to be in the movie. So it's just kind of this thing where like, people are waiting for it. And then, you know, there's that moment in the sixth movie where you see that Ron finally acknowledges it. And then it's like, he doesn't remember when he wakes up out of his coma. And
They must have got the hormones in the movies before they got them in the books. That's probably it.
Yeah, I think
started puberty first.
That's gonna bother me. I have never seen a 16-year-old kid that fucking hairy in my life. Why did they make him take his shirt off? What the hell?
Wait,
When did he take his shirt off? I don't even remember.
When they were changing shows after they dropped out.
Was he hairy? I didn't even notice, to be honest.
Harry, Eric checks like young boys.
I wasn't paying attention either.
I was
with
my wife and she's
I think
like,
I was looking at Hermione and wanting her to change when she wasn't.
I don't even know when we're talking about.
I'm talking about Harry's 16-year-old boys. Okay, let's change the subject.
Yes, this is not going to end well.
No, it didn't end well. It didn't start well.
Nope. That motherfucker's got more hair on his chest than I do. And I'm twice his age.
Are you jealous?
A little bit.
I don't think the opposite sex likes it that much anyway.
I'm jealous of anyone. I'm jealous of anyone who could like grow a beard. All right.
So am I actually, because I get like 15-year-old facial hair at the age of 23. But let's not get into that because we're talking about Harry Potter.
I can grow a 13-year-old's goatee. Oh yeah, you're right. Harry Potter.
Okay, so this is our envious of teenagers episode.
Although that's to be honest, that's probably her and makeup who's done that for him. That's been added to him. He might not even be that.
So what, they're like, give him a werewolf feel?
No, Harry.
I don't know.
He's extremely hairy because he did that show. Didn't he do a stage show where he was naked?
Did you enjoy that, Earl?
I didn't see it. I've seen pictures of it because everybody's like, oh,
you went there. Oh, okay.
I didn't even bother looking at pictures. I heard of that. Neither
did
like,
I.
Okay,
I didn't really
want
to see it.
Oh,
well, wouldn't be able to watch Harry Potter the same if I saw those pictures.
Yeah, not one. No, didn't need to see that.
Okay, moving on.
Yes, let's just.
Tangent.
The Ministry of Magic sequence was pretty awesome.
Which one? Oh,
where they in break the first,
in? When they break in, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Like,
I know my wife!
You don't have a wife.
Exactly.
But, yeah, that was kind of cool. Like, I do find it odd that the ministry didn't have any type of safeguards for people using, like, magic.
What's up with that?
Polyjuice potion.
Yeah.
You can't really take into account everything. I mean,
but like, the Ministry of Magic, you should have
So they had safeguards for everything else but that? I don't know. Just maybe they missed out on that.
Maybe they assumed nobody would use polyjuice potion, but
yeah, I mean, in the movie, the
girl's right. It doesn't make sense because everywhere they went to go camping, they put up hexes or whatever for protection, right? Like alarms and stuff. So why wouldn't the ministry have protection? Like, it's got zero protection, pretty much. They just walked right in.
Yeah.
Well, first off, you have to know where the damn place is. Like who's going to think, oh, we have to go to the toilet to get into the Ministry of Magic? You know?
Well, I assume everybody knows where the Ministry of Magic is because it's where – I guess that would be the other problem is that since this is a public place, it's like when you go to the courts or the city hall and stuff, they don't check you for weapons and stuff.
Right.
If you go to City Hall, they don't check you for weapons.
I'm pretty sure we get a pat down.
They should do in America.
Before you go in the room.
Thank you.
Considering
thank
it's legal to carry your firearms, I would have thought you.
Sure.
I'm fine with that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to break in.
I mean, it makes sense that they, you know, broke in and stuff like that. I mean, especially when you compare it to the Gringotts scene in the second half where they have Thieves' Downfall, where they have that magical river which washes off any type of magical enhancements.
Yeah, but those are goblins. These are humans. Humans are dumb. They don't know
bank.
Much better.
It's different.
Yeah.
Just like real life. Fuck.
Fair enough. But yeah, that was a cool scene, and they did kind of get some revenge on Dolores Umbridge.
Oh, I hate that woman. I hate that man.
I'll hold her down. You beat her. Him.
Okay. Whatever.
Kinky. But yeah, I think the artist is supposed to be a character you love to hate, and she does it so well.
Yes, she does.
I mean, I think she's more evil than Voldemort in this entire series. She's
that little her little giggle. I want to punch her every time she
does. Giggle and her when she wants to interrupt you.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, she's this evil woman, and then they dress her up in this fiery pink, and she has this thing with cats. So
the little hat thing, yeah.
Yeah, so she kind of has like this warm and appealing look about her, but she's extremely evil and vicious and vindictive. But yes.
Poor Mad Eye. I'm sorry. I just had to throw that.
Oh yeah, Mad Eye. Although I don't think you see him die on camera, do you?
You don't get to see him die on camera.
You don't die in the book either, and that's kind of the point. It's the same thing with Upis and I guess we should have mentioned at some point that this is going to be for spoilers.
Right.
Screw it.
Oh, just add it in post in the beginning.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with Rumus and Open.
Although you do see their dead bodies. I don't think you see Mad-Eye's dead body either.
You don't seem to find out about it, but it's kind of the same thing where like, these were kind of major characters. Well, okay, Rumus more so than Open. Wait, not Tonks. There we go. Yeah. Yes. Because Lupin's his last name, right?
Correct.
Remus Lupin, yeah.
Sure, he's the werewolf.
Wolf boy. So yeah, you don't see them die, but you kind of, and some people had issues with that, but I kind of understand. It's the scope of battle. Harry couldn't, it would be weird if Harry was around to witness everybody dying. That would be cheesy in so many ways.
It'd be worse if no one died, actually.
It was war. You're not going to see everybody's death, right?
Yeah. And I think it kind of helped with that situation. I forget if that's when he decides to give himself up, right?
Yeah.
He goes into the forest.
Yeah, and I think that kind of helps with that, where it's like, you know, all these people have sacrificed themselves to protect me, to make sure I can get my mission done, and then this whole time my mission was for me to die anyhow.
Wait, I got questions here for this part. This part kind of confused me when I was watching it.
Okay, so, here we go.
He gets the Philosopher's Stone right before he goes to confront Voldemort, right?
Not the Philosopher's Stone.
I mean the Resurrection Stone. My bad.
Yeah.
I'm drinking beer. I'm jealous.
Anyways, he's holding on to it, and he talks to his mother, right? Especially his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then he drops it and he snaps out of it. Wouldn't he still need that puppy to resurrect after Voldemort blasted him?
The blast deflected back. The blast didn't actually kill him.
Right. The blast didn't kill him. You see,
but he did die because he was one of the Horcruxes, an unintentional Horcrux.
Yeah.
Sorry, where were we?
We were up to
Resurrection Stone.
Stone. Didn't he need to hold on to that before he confronted? I don't understand how it worked. I don't think
Resurrection Stone.
Resurrect a person, or is it a stone to?
Well, here's the thing: the Resurrection Stone didn't actually resurrect anyone.
Yeah,
in the Tale of the Three Brothers, the second brother used it to resurrect his wife, but his dead wife was never really, you know, alive. She was just kind of like a
zombie,
you know, like a ghost that he could see.
Okay.
And so he didn't really need that Resurrection Stone, per se.
Well, note of it is that it drives him crazy, which is what eventually forces him to kill himself.
Yeah.
The second brother.
That was another thing that confused me, because he has all three items, right? The cape, the invisibility cloak, the sword, and the stone. Right? Uh-huh. Or not the stone.
Yeah, the stone.
Yeah, the stone.
The stone, the wand, and the invisibility cloak.
Why didn't they, you know, like, I don't know, what? That would make him the master of death, then.
Yes, so, and it's something they don't play up in the, it's something they don't play up in the movie. And
once again, it's the book thing.
Yeah, where they explained it at the conclusion is that he was the master of death, but the reason
he didn't die.
But I was gonna say the reason he was able to become the master of death is he wasn't looking to not die, and I think it's kind of like the same thing with the Philosopher's Stone in the first movie. It's like it's something he wasn't seeking, so it came to him, and he wasn't looking to cheat death. It just happened, which is why he was the only person who was ever able to actually combine all three, because even Dumbledore, and it's again something that's something they pick up in the movie, tried to get all three and he failed, because you know, and this is why he ends up killing his sister.
See all that stuff too. I was like, oh my god, you need to read the books to know all that, I guess, because they don't really tell you in the movie, do they?
By the time I got to the second movie,
I forgot everything about the book.
I forgot most of it as well, because it's been a while since I've read the book. My memory isn't great at the best of times, so I can barely remember Deathly Hallows Part 1, and that I watched that last year. So
I also read the seventh book before the movie came out.
So. Okay, it's like how did he kill his sister, you know, and stuff like that.
I didn't mind it that much though, because it meant I enjoyed the movie more, because I didn't remember every minor plot detail.
Yeah, so the last book has all this information about Dumbledore and his sister and his family.
Yeah,
and where they live. Okay.
It's a subplot they kind of drop, and I think it's kind of for the better.
You know, like just drop a little hint of it. I think that's for the hardcores, and then you got questions.
I don't even think it's so much for the hardcore. It's something they drop in general, because part of the seventh book is the fact that Harry's kind of iffy on what is it? Harry's kind of iffy on Dumbledore because he finds out that Dumbledore wasn't telling him a lot of stuff, and that the 6 years he knew him, he didn't really know him. Like, he didn't know he had a brother or a sister.
No, Dumbledore had secrets. Yeah. Like everybody else, Harry.
I know.
Someone at Hogwarts had secrets? What?
But Harry thought, you know, he was the one person that Dumbledore could have trusted. And then, you know, the ultimate betrayal for him comes when he finds out this entire time Dumbledore wasn't, you know, quote, Dumbledore wasn't looking out for him. Dumbledore wanted him to die or needed him to die for this to end.
At the right time, though.
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things where he can't tell him that I need you to die, but you'll survive. Because then, you know, it's kind of the thing where Harry gets away with some of this stuff because he's kind of pure and noble.
And yeah.
It's kind of like his mother. And it's, again, something they don't have in the movie is that once Harry dies in the book the first time.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I was explaining that, and again, it's something they don't have to in the books. I mean, in the movies. But once Harry dies, he protects all of his friends the same way his mother self-protected him from Voldemort's magic, which is why nothing could affect them after his first death. It's not something they play up in a movie because I guess they didn't need to. But
his
it was
first death, as in what happened in the last.
Yeah, movie. Well, I mean, he does die.
Right. You lied to me too, you bastard.
How?
I was like, I'm off to go see Harry die, and you're like, he doesn't die. Then I came back and I was like, he totally bit it.
Well, he technically doesn't die.
Ow.
As he dies,
the curse rebounds off him though, doesn't it?
Well, it does
at the very end, yeah.
It does kill him, but I mean that whole like scene with Dumbledore is probably like 10 seconds, or something.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's something they say in the book. It basically, I think, it's the time it takes him to flip in midair and fall to the ground or something like that.
But it's an inception thing. Meanwhile, in your head, it's taking 10 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's what it is.
And yeah, because you also find out that Voldemort, it gets rebounded and part of it, and he doesn't realize that Harry is the final Horrocrux. Well, one of the Horrocruxes he created.
Horror.
And huh?
I'm pretty sure
he didn't
horror,
realize that.
Horrocrux.
Whore.
Not
Harry.
Harry.
Horrocrux.
I think didn't Harry inadvertently become one of the Horcruxes when Voldemort killed his parents on that night?
Oh, yeah.
That when
yeah.
it happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the big surprise for that movie. I thought.
Well, it was a surprising. Well, I think. I mean,
it was one of the twists. Yeah.
It was one of the twists, but I think a lot of people figured it out. I mean, he even mentions it to Hermione, and it's like, you know, like I think you've always known, and I've always kind of suspected, and it explains why he always had that psychic connection with Voldemort and the Horcruxes, and why he was able to sense them when he got close to them, which is how he finds like the goblet.
Right.
So yeah, and I think they don't mention it early in the movies, and I forget if it's in the books, but I think Nagini is the only Horcrux he creates after he returns.
The snake.
Yeah.
The snake.
Mm.
It's because he creates it. I think he creates it once he kills the old man. At this
point, right.
Yeah.
So he's still got one little piece of his soul left that he can make one more Horcrux with.
Well, no, he's dead now because Harry killed all.
Yeah, because.
Well, I don't
know. That was. Oh. What's his face?
Neville.
Good old Neville Longbottom.
Neville, Mr. Awesome Longbottom.
But Neville you said and McGonagall. Like, you mean during the between issue.
Four and five.
What movie are you talking about?
Well, he comes back in the fourth movie when he kills the old dude at the start of the fourth movie.
Right.
I believe that's when he creates his final Horcrux.
But that's saying that he still had a piece of his soul left over.
No, that means that means he created one more after his. Because I guess it's not something that plays up in the book. I don't think it's something they add in the movie. He can't actually feel when they're destroyed, like he does in the movie. But in the movie, he can feel it.
The movie totally felt it.
Yeah, because every time
I'm confused. What I'm getting out of it was he built these Horcruxes to spread parts of his soul around.
Yeah.
So they'd be safely capped, so that he could come back alive at any time, as long as his
not that he couldn't come back to life, that he couldn't die. As long as part of him survived, he could never really truly die, which is how he comes back in the first place. But then that's the whole point of the Deathly Hallows, is that it's Harry's mission to destroy them all. And once he destroys them all, he can finally kill him, which is what he does at the end of the movie. Right,
right. Yeah, so Voldemort is dead.
Dead in ashes.
Dead is dead. Yeah, he's not. If there's any more Harry Potter films, it's not Voldemort. No, Voldemort is dead. It's done. Bye-bye.
The next Harry Potter movie...
Ding dong, you can't be named his dad. What?
The next Harry Potter movie should be a spin-off with Neville Longbottom and Professor McGonagall as the stars of...
Getting it on. Oh, sorry.
As a buddy cop. As a buddy cop. Neville was badass.
Yeah, I would love that. A buddy
yeah,
cop
actually,
should be starring Neville Longbottom and Professor Headmaster McGonagall.
Another one of the problems I had with the film, actually, and I hate saying this because they're probably my two favourite characters, but when Neville turned around and said, I love Luna. It's like, that seemed really put on and really forced as well.
Yeah, I thought the same
thing. I didn't get any sense at all that them two had, like, any spark between them or anything. Because, like,
I don't think they
Hermione and Ron, Hermione and Ron, you've seen it coming. That's why I let that slide. And it's the same with Harry and Ginny, but I think with Luna and Neville, I just, no. Sorry.
Luna and Neville, honestly, was like, crap, we have these two members from Dumbledore's army. What are we going to do with them for a happy year after? And it's like, oh, they love each other. I'm like, I don't, because Luna is introduced in the fifth movie. I don't honestly think of them ever interacting in any movies.
I don't think they did in the books that much, even, to be honest, from what I remember.
They end up getting married in the books too, don't they?
I'm going to just say yes, but I'm not that sure because I can't remember, so I'm just going to agree.
You know, since we're talking about things that we don't like about the movie, can I bring up one thing that I don't like about the film? Just one little thing?
No, you can't. Because we like everything about it. No, go on. I don't care.
Oh, no. This is one thing that I was really excited about, okay? Because Emma Watson said she was fucking wearing a fat suit at the end of the movie. And you know what? You watch a movie and I'm like, she's not wearing a fat suit. She's wearing a slightly not as skinny suit. And I was like, what the hell?
I thought Ron
was very upset.
I thought Ron was wearing a fat suit.
I loved Ron's epic beer gut. I wanted that.
I didn't know it, so actually.
I have one already. No problem. What?
It was the only one I actually did notice. He was the only one who kind of slightly different.
He's the one who looked old, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he did a good job of like being old. Harry almost did. But you know, like he's still like a short guy and he can't really do much with the short guys to make them look old.
Yeah.
You know.
Malfoy
did look old.
Yeah,
Malfoy
didn't look old, I thought.
But I thought Malfoy did.
Malfoy is quite old, though, isn't he? Malfoy is the oldest out of them. He's like.
He was the one who aged the most in the movie. Like, from the first movie to the end of the Deathly Hallows, he aged bad. Well, not bad, just quickly, I should say.
He's the oldest kid.
He already looked 50 in the movie. He didn't even have to add the makeup. He just grew a beard. For that,
I think they had trouble making him look younger in the Philosopher's Stone. Actually, do you know, making him look 11 years old or something.
That reminds me, Ed. It's one of the funniest scenes in the movie is when Voldemort hugs him.
Oh, giving Lord Voldemort a hug because you're a top bloke. That is the best Facebook group ever.
That was such an awkward hug scene.
Yeah,
it's probably
the awkward moment when you hug Lord Voldemort.
I understand why, but he hugs so poorly. It's like my friends always make fun of how he holds his wand. Because he doesn't hold it he kind of holds it like a weird pencil type deal. Where he doesn't grip it, he just kind of loosely palms it, I guess.
I never know.
I like the way he holds his wand. It's like evil looking, I don't know. It's just kind of like...
It's different, but...
Exactly, it's good for him.
But I think it's part of his character.
Yeah, but it's the same way with the hug. It's just like really awkward. But you also know it's because he doesn't know how to express actual emotion. Which is why I find it kind of odd a character for him to hug somebody.
He doesn't know how.
He doesn't know how. Because he's always thought that he's better than everybody and that... Because, I mean, really, he's kind of just like a manipulative person, which is what you get out of all of the books. And it's something, again, that they don't pay up to in the movie. I hate to keep comparing it to the book, but like when he thinks he kills Harry, he gives everybody this huge speech about how Harry Potter was a coward and how he killed him when he was trying to flee the scene in the forest or something. And, you know, it's just like, oh, I'm just going to talk down your giant hero who came and faced me in the forest alone by making him look like some coward, and now you should all obey me. I mean, what did you folks think of, like, the entire, like, climax from when Harry died until the end of the movie?
Fast.
Some people
Baby Voldemort have, scared the hell out of me.
That was creepy.
Some people in work have complained that they said they didn't like the ending that much, but I honestly thought it was fine. It didn't seem too dragged out like a certain other book-to-film franchise, Lord of the Rings. it seemed like well-paced, and, you know, the happy ending was there. When I watch it again, I might have a problem with it, but I don't know.
I had no problem with it. The problem I had was that he broke the damn wand. He's like, he could have been the most powerful wizard ever.
Yeah, he was the master of death.
That blew me out of the water, too. I was like, what are you doing, man?
Again, you know, at least it didn't fade out and come back on 8 times like Return of the King did. Yeah. So I just got annoying.
Again, it's something that he kind of... It's something that they play up in the book and they don't mention in the movie. But he doesn't want to be the master of death, which is the reason he drops the Resurrection Stone in the forest. Right. He has no idea how to find it and nobody else can.
Yeah, and that's why he breaks the wand. And
yeah.
But he still has the cloak.
He wants to keep the cloak.
The cloak's pretty cool, though, ain't it?
Yeah, it's convenient.
Actually, and he might want to keep the cloak as well, as well, because it was a gift from Dumbledore, wasn't it? Or was it from his dad?
Dumbledore gave it to him, but it's a gift. It's a family heirloom because you find out that it's something they don't mention again in the movie. But he's one of the descendants of the three brothers.
Right.
Oh shit.
Well, true story.
Earl, the cloak was his father's, wasn't it?
Yeah, because
his father,
and then I think how they explain it is that his father had possession of it, and Dumbledore asked to borrow it, and I guess he had possession of it when his family bit it, and he decided to give it to Harry that in the first year in Hogwarts because it was a family heirloom. And yeah, it's supposed to be, it passes down from generation to generation, which means that Harry's a descendant of one of the...
Albus Severus will be getting it next. Potter Jr.
That's a terrible name.
It is. I do agree with that, actually.
Albus Severus Potter.
Here's the thing. It sounded cool when you read the book.
Yeah,
and then you
yeah.
watch the little kid be called that, and you're like, oh, I feel so sorry for that. Like,
yeah. In the book, it works. In the film, it's a bit. But they couldn't change it, could they? Really? Yeah, for the film.
But I mean, just think about it for a second. Is that, one, you have this terrible name.
They could have done it better, actually. They could have, like, added three extra, like, two extra sentences to make that entire name sound cool. Or, you know, well, I guess less uncool than it actually is.
I was going to say that. You have that. And then you have to... he was afraid that he might end up in Slytherin. I'm like, I'd be afraid if I end up in Hogsworth. I mean, in Gryffindor. Because how are you going to live up to your father's reputation? The guy who killed ultimate evil, became the master of death, the youngest Quidditch player in history. What are you supposed to do your first year?
Party.
Ride on the coattails of your father's fame. At least he wasn't a Hufflepuff. Or actually, we don't know, because it ended before he got there.
Yeah.
Mr. Potter.
What was his other children's name? The other children's name are James Sirius Potter, Albus Severus Potter, and Lily Luna Potter.
He's really bad at naming, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's like, crap, I have all these people I want at the name you after.
Jenny, get back in the bedroom. We got some more names we can use.
Why did he use Luna?
I was curious about that as well. I don't know.
Because it's not as if... I guess they were close, but it's not as if they were, like, tight, is it? Like, he was serious.
I have that scene in the movie, too, which isn't in the book, but Harry Potter, you will listen to me.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome. That was, like, moment, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I thought that was badass because, you know, like all this time, nobody ever really talks to him that way, even though, you know, he's kind of making it up as he goes along. And that was another of the scene with him, Ron, and Hermione, where she's like, we need a plan. He's like, we always plan, we get there, things go to shit, and we, you know, we make it up as we go.
That's how we roll.
But, yep. Yeah, The scene with the Una was, I thought it was pretty awesome. That was her moment to shine.
Mm.
They don't explain how she gets there, because the last thing you see, she's with them in the, she's with them at the, shell cottage, and then somehow she's at, she's already at Hogsworth when they get, when they get there.
Well, she had time to. They had to go to Gringotts and, you know, battle, yep. Ride the dragon away.
Yeah, but so they never explain why she goes there.
Well, like the she probably went to join the army.
Yeah, but they didn't declare war at that time.
What?
Remember, they were all hiding out in the Room of Requirement.
Well, after your father betrays your friend, would you want to hang out with your father?
She could have stayed at the cell cottage. She was safe. Yeah.
Are
you talking about Luna's dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Luna's dad.
Well, more like how... but yeah. I was going to say, I prefer the climax or the final fight between Voldemort and Harry in the actual book. I like the part where they were like kind of flying through the air. It was pretty awesome, but I like the symbolism of having the final fight in the center of the Great Hall with everybody kind of watching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I felt it was kind of, you know, cheated when it's just kind of like this isolated fight away from everybody else, because it's not just Harry's victory. It's something that everybody wanted to be a part of. And, you know, having it in the middle of the school that, you know, because, you know, one of the themes throughout the books and the movies is how similar the two characters are to each other.
It had to take place there. It's the main setting of the whole series. It's the one place that everybody spends the most time.
Yeah, and they
which did, place?
The Great school. Hall.
Oh, yeah.
And that reminds me, the other thing I didn't like, or maybe I just don't remember the movies well enough, is like the death of Severus Snape. Because in the book, he dies in the Weeping Willow.
Mm-hmm.
I have not.
You know, I was thinking that. I was thinking the death seemed different to what I remember the book being like.
I don't know where he dies in the movie.
He dies out by the dock, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not,
that's what it looks like.
It's not a place we've ever been to in the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not.
But, you know what, right? I honestly don't care, because that montage of Snape and Lily is the best scene in the entire franchise. In my
I don't
opinion,
know about the entire franchise, but I really getting to watch
so
that.
Oh, good. Oh,
I know.
I'm still confused as to why Snape was such a hero. Just because what? He
well,
was
because
the entire around the whole time.
The whole time he was, you know, a good guy.
Yeah,
or
he was kind of like a guy who was, and it's one of the things that kind of pains him, and it explains his animosity towards Harry, is that he didn't hate Harry.
He hated his dad because he took
it. Well, it's not even that he
hated
his dad.
Yeah.
The fact that every time he saw Harry, it was a painful reminder of his mother. And imagine if you have somebody and they were taken from you and you had to be reminded every day of them and that you were responsible for it.
Guy should have just moved on.
Well, I mean, I
Oh, that's not the point, because he was in love with her, though, wasn't he? That's the thing.
He still is in love with her.
Patronus is her Patronus.
Yeah.
The man who loved. And it does sound, it is kind of sloppy, but I think it's handled really well. Because I was wondering, because with the Hermione and Ron thing, and then the Ginny and Harry, and then eventually Luna and
Neville.
I was beginning to think like Davy Yates doesn't really know how to do romance that well, but then he did the scene, the montage with Lily and Cerberus, and he looked like he was just saving it all for that.
I was going to say that for a franchise that's built around love, that the concept of love, it actually handled relationships for you both in the movies and in the books.
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
I guess part of it is that she wanted to make sure that she had, you know, like these people didn't get together until the seventh book. But yeah, like, you know, this would they, won't they kind of stuff that she had going on. Like Harry and Ginny got together the sixth book, but. You know, it was kind of ham-fisted, and Ron and Hermione was just, like, 7 years being dragged out. It's like watching Friends, not done as well.
Actually, do you know, in regards to Ron and Hermione, did J.K. Rowling include that in the book once the film started hinting that there's kind of like a thing between them, or did she always plan on having them two get together?
I assume she always planned on having them get together, but like I said, it was something I think that was hinted more in the movie. I had it
yeah.
than it was in the book, and Because I don't think there's any type of mention of it throughout the first three or four books. And I think it's around, I want to say it's around the fifth one where they start kind of, I think it's around the fourth one because you start to see Ron kind of jealous of Victor Crumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can remember the scene in at the end where where Hermione and Victor become pen pals, and he's kind of upset with that. But even then, it's still not as overtly as it was in the movie where Ron literally insults her for dating somebody that isn't him. But yeah,
wouldn't you?
Well, he doesn't do anything about it. I guess is what I'm saying is that it's not something that's played up really well at first, and then it's kind of like, crap, these two are going to get together. How do I make them get together now? And it's like...
I'll carry on.
No, go on.
No, what I was going to say is one of the things I didn't like that much about the Half-Blood Prince is most of it was just the teenage flirting between all the kids, and I didn't really care that much, to be honest.
I actually did like that because... Honestly, there's not much else going on in the Half-Blood Prince.
That is true.
Maybe has Harry Potter calling himself a tosser.
So I mean,
that's about it. They find the first Horcrux.
There's a lot of because the book is mostly backstory for Voldemort, Tom Riddle, and it's not something. Mm. I mean, it would have been nice, but it's not something that's needed in the movies, I guess, because they don't really play up to it. Like, you know, they don't expand the ring or, I mean, they expand that.
In the movie, right?
Yeah, they don't expand the ring in the movie really well anyhow.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't expand the significance of the Horcrux in general in the movies. Other than them being pieces of his souls, most of them are magical artifacts. Like the ring belonged to, the ring was actually what had the resurrection stone. What else is there? The diary was his own. The locket belonged to somebody, and then each of the four houses he had an artifact for, and he turned that into a Horcrux because he believed he was magical descendant, you know. And he kills his family to create the first one, and stuff like that. But yeah, I kind of like the sixth one because, you know, there isn't much plot to it, and they did the best they could. And it was, you know, it is nice to have kind of a teen romance. But yes, any other thoughts on Deathly Hallows Part 1 or 2?
I'm just glad it was over. I enjoyed the piss out of the last movie. I did a lot.
I'll go last, because I've got a point I want to make.
I don't know. As a guy who didn't...
Yeah, I can't wait to buy all 8.
It was
I can't wait to buy all 8 on DVD or Blu-ray.
Mm. When you look at the summer movies we've had of 2011 and what we've seen so far, like the big franchise tentpole movies have been like Transformers 3, Pirates 4, and then there's Harry Potter. And I guess the X-Men's kind of low, but it's not got the same global appeal as the other three. And I think out of them three, Harry Potter is by far the best one because it's got good intentions behind it. It's well made and it's got themes that actually mean something, and it's not just trashy cinema like Pirates 4 and Transformers 3 is. And I haven't seen Captain America yet, but Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2 may end up being the best summer movie of 2011, but we'll have to see because Captain America looked awesome. That's all I wanted to say.
I think it's in the running for me. And
but Harry Potter didn't have Chris Evans in it, so...
I'm surprised.
And it's not got Hugo Weaving in it either, which is a shame, because I think he's English and he's not in the franchise at all.
Oh, that actually reminded me of something I wanted to bring up real quick. Is that I was also remarkable that they kept the same cast pretty much for 10 years.
Yes, yeah.
It's called contract.
That is impressive.
Yeah. Well, still,
it's not down to contract, though, because the guy who played Draco Malfoy, when he turned 18, because he turned 18, I think, when they made, was it the fifth one? Or the sixth one, and he had the option where he could have just walked away from it if he wanted to, but he didn't. He stuck with the franchise till the end, and that seems what everyone else did. I mean, the only reason they recasted Dumbledore is because Richard Harris passed.
Yeah.
The old Dumbledore died.
But it, I mean, even yeah, without contracts, that's remarkable in this day and age. I mean,
yeah, it is, and they're all British, and they're all good actors.
I know.
Sorry.
Eight movies, practically the same exact cast.
Yeah, you get trilogies that have turnaround fast, and you get Batman. They had a new Rachel within one movie. And this
look at the Incredible Hulk. Three movies, three different actors.
Yeah, and this movie.
Thank you for bringing up Batman. I felt the need to. I guess I don't have to now.
In Iron Man, how they replaced Rhodey with somebody darker.
Yeah. Yeah, just look at all those movies.
Yeah, that too.
10 years, 8 movies. They pretty much kept the same cast, but not there. I was looking at some of it on Wikipedia.
They only replaced Dumbledore and the guy without the nose, Voldemort.
Yeah,
those are the only two people they replaced.
What do you mean replaced? They don't really.
And Voldemort was really just like the back of a voice on the back of a head.
Yeah,
in the first movie.
I was going to say they didn't replace people, but it's like characters who were minor in like the first one or two movies, and then had like they replaced Cedric Diggory with the guy from Twilight and stuff like that. But it's something you won't notice.
Is Cedric Diggory in an early movie?
That's what it says on Wikipedia. I was looking at it. He's probably like a background character. I was going to say that's the other thing. Is that it's not even the main characters. It's people like Seamus and Dean Thomas. Characters who have like one or two scenes in each movie who are the same people.
Yeah.
And the teachers, because in some movies, the teachers don't get a lot of screen time either.
No. Like the little teacher, Fintwick, is that his name?
And I noticed for this one, actually, they got the
David
plant
Fincher,
teacher
what?
Back, didn't they?
Huh?
Who was the plant teacher who's in Chamber of Secrets? I can't remember her name. Mrs. Poppet or something. Because they got this. She's in Deathly Hallows Part 2. And she's in the hall at the end. It's not Madame Pomfrey. I can't remember. It's in my head, isn't it?
But yeah,
Ayada
characters.
They got the same actress.
I know what you mean. I want the idea.
Ayada characters, like I mentioned Seamus, he's in almost all of the movies. But you see him like once or twice. He draws up his face, I think, the first time you see him in Philosopher's Stone. And it's kind of, they bring that back with the whole, I remember that Mr. Seamus has a knack for blowing stuff up, and he's the one who creates the explosion for the bridge. But yeah, somebody did point out, though, that either he's not in the movie or he changed.
I said to my brother when we sat down waiting to watch Deathly Hallows Part 2, I said, they should have got David Tennant to have a cameo for it, just in the big battle scene. And he said that apparently he dies in the book in one of the early films. So I pretty much just shut up because I couldn't be bothered having the argument with him.
I was going to say
who played,
that.
The dragon trainer guy?
Hagrid.
No. The guy who played... who is it now? It's one of the older Weasley brothers.
Oh.
I was watching features on the first part of Deathly Hallows, and they say that you do see him before in the last movie in one of those moving pictures in the newspaper.
Yeah.
But it's a different actor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So done it. Like, switched.
Yeah, they do recast. Like I said, they have recasted really minor roles. But yeah, for the most part, most of the people there were people who were there from day one.
Yeah. Main people.
Yeah.
All of the big characters.
Even some of the minor ones, like some of the housemates and stuff like that. Like, Lavender.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of a vicious scene. She died. We didn't mention that. That was one of the deaths you did see on screen.
I forgot about
that.
Lavender Brown. Death kill was Ron's mom killed the chick from Planet of the
Apes. I didn't like
yes,
that.
Yes, Lestrange.
She didn't deliver her line right.
Yeah, that was so much more in the book.
I wanted more.
Yeah.
I had nothing.
She mumbled the line. I could barely hear what she said. I didn't know.
Yeah, I remember saying that to my wife, too. I can't wait to get this on DVD so I can read the subtitles.
No,
that was the only line I didn't quite hear. In the book, that's really awesome.
Yeah, in the book, it's really awesome because she says it, and then it's kind of like, it's like one of those old movies because in my head, anyhow, it's like she takes off her cape or whatever, and it's like, not my daughter, you bitch, and she takes it off, and then she starts like being an expert wizard and using her magic, and here she kind of stumbles, and Bellatrix is beating her, and then she comes back like one or two spells, and Bellatrix is dead.
I was just happy she was gone.
Yeah, I mean, she had her moment. I think almost everybody had their shining moment.
True.
Yep.
Neville killed the snake.
Yes, Neville was here awesome. But Neville had most of the movie to be his moment. Actually, I don't. Yeah. What was Ron and Hermione's moment?
The kiss.
Getting the
Chamber's secrets. Yeah.
Yes.
Smoochy.
That was actually.
And plus, they're in. They go to the vault with Harry at the beginning as well. So and they are in. They are the main characters in every film.
Yeah, so. They do get their moments in every other film. So
yeah.
I guess they didn't need a giant one here.
Their moment was destroying the one Horcrux with the basilisk tooth.
Well, I think that is.
And they dropped also.
Because Ron destroys the rocket and she destroys the. And it was nice that they showed that because in the book that's just. Well, it's not implied, they say it, but they don't show that scene. So yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, that's it for Harry Potter. We're mostly. Hey.
Well done.
I was gonna say
I'm sad that it's ending, but I'm not going
to be back with one on DVD and watch all 8, so we can talk about everything at once.
Yeah.
Well, just because I.
Hooray! Thank you, Harry Potter, for 10 wonderful years. My childhood is now over.
Yeah, that's what to say.
Thanks for the memories.
It's kind of odd because it's I mean, especially if you're one of those people who started reading with the books in what 97. It's like
yeah, like people actually. Like there's half of your life right there devoted to this
some of
movie
what?
And
yeah, not franchise. This cat.
Well, not you, not me, but you know, like there are. I don't know how to say this, but
there are people who have been in their whole life. I mean, like, if you think about it, like, some people who kind of started with the books and stuff would be just hitting. Like, they would be at college age now, and it would be most of their childhood and. We don't get many.
Hey, everybody who's listening to this show right now, hit the pause button. Go to nerdsontherocks.com and actually make a comment on this post. If you're one of these people, tell us your story about how Harry Potter has, you know, kind of defined your life.
Yeah.
Yay. But,
nice plug, Jay.
You know, I'd love to read what everyone else has to say.
We need to get him on every week just so we could give us a plug for people to contribute. Because we always forget.
Look. Actually, if you want to plug, and you better edit this out. It's like, all right, so what you do is you go to jvmail.com, and you click on the Ask a Question button, and you ask us a question right there on jvmail.com, and then we'll answer it in a future episode. There, that's a plug.
Well done.
I hope you're going to delete that. Please delete that.
No, I'll keep it in. I have no problem with shameless plugs.
But he's going to get loads of spam in these things.
No, you can't get. Well, you won't get spam from a podcast because that would mean the computer's listening to it.
Yeah, no, it's just like completely out of place. That's all I meant. I'd rather you leave the other one, you know, because I really do care. I really do want to see or read what other people have to say about this film, specifically those people whose lives, you know, were kind of like taken up by this movie because, like,
oh, it's French,
you know, they read it as a child and then the movie came out. Yeah. You know, specifically like the younger generation.
Yeah,
because I'm apparently not that younger generation no more.
Oh, well, I mean, even somebody.
That's all I meant.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it's almost as old as Dylan.
Oh, don't mention him in context with Harry Potter.
He won't listen to this episode to know, anyhow. So.
Yeah.
We should just, next time we see Dylan, we should be like, Judd, Winnick, Harry Potter, and then run.
Well, you're going to see him in like. So thank you, Jay, for joining us. Hopefully next time hopefully next time we plan this better so you actually know ahead of time and not the day before.
I thought we did this last week.
Yeah.
Well, apparently you did a poor job because
except for the time.
Hey man, I told you had to replace Dylan and then I left it in your hands.
Oh, I knew it.
I had no idea. I had no idea what time we were recording until today.
But anyway,
yes, but
it's been fun. I'm going to let you guys close out the show. I have a party to attend and a card to buy. So, see ya.
Okay, enjoy.
See ya, Jay.
See ya.
Take care.
And as always, thanks to Eric and Anthony for joining us. So, for myself, Harry Potter, 10 years, J.K. Rowling, Warner Brothers, who are screwed out of a 10-po movie in 2 years. This has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 54.
See you guys. Thanks for listening.